listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 18th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight's topic is how to manage and overcome fear, and I think something that's going to be very prescient on that, Dr. Kelly is joining us tonight.
Hello, everybody.
He's speaking to us for a moment.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back with you. I just wanted to take a couple, 3 minutes or so, and talk about the current TP apocalypse that's going on around the world. The coronavirus and the lack of toilet paper and paper towels.
They're going to be the new currency pretty soon here.
I'm telling you, people are going to be looting. They're going to start mugging us, not for money or gold, but for toilet paper and paper towels.
Have a padlock
anyway,
in my bathroom.
Yeah, so, you know, I just wanted to say a few words on this coronavirus and thing. The coronavirus does not scare me. It's human behavior that scares me. And, of course, a lot of people are acting irrationally. I mean, there is no rational explanation for hoarding toilet paper and paper towels. There just isn't. It's an outlet. It's an expression. It's a behavior that's irrational. There's no logic to it, you know. And so people are afraid. And, of course, tonight's program is on fear and managing fear and all that. But what I want to do is encourage everybody to keep a level head. You know, there have been numerous viruses and flus and things that have come and gone, and this will run its course and it'll be behind us in due time, you know. And so I want to encourage people to not panic, not get overly worried or overly paranoid about it. Do what you should do. You know, you should wash your hands after you use the restroom. And, you know, when you go to public places, you should use some hand sanitizer if you can find it. You know, you should wash your hands and keep generally healthy. Those are just good hygiene. It's just good hygiene. Keep doing that. And don't get overly worried or paranoid that, you know, that we're all going to die because of this. We may be in worse shape because we can't find toilet paper. So that might be the, you know, worse than the virus. And that was a joke. So keep your wits about you, keep your head on your shoulders, and just let it run its course. It's funny to me that, and Vic, you were mentioning this before the program, that, you know, there's plenty of food in the stores. There's no TP. There's no paper towels. It's like, okay, hey, we can live without food, but we can't live without TP. I don't know. It's funny. So people, just hang in there. Let it run its course. Use your head. Be smart. And it'll pass in due time.
You know, it's good to have you here, Dr. Kelly. I'm glad you started the program off that way. When we thought about the topic for tonight last week, of course, you can't really predict how things are going to go in the world. But, you know, there was a little inklings of it a week ago. But we were thinking, I was thinking more in lines of how we generally deal with fear. But tonight we can take it in a whole new direction. So I'm really glad you started out with that topic. And we're going to get going. But really glad to have you.
Yeah, well, I'll be back in a couple of weeks or whatever. Anyway, everybody take care and have a good program.
Thanks, Dr. Kelly.
Thanks for that. You have a good night.
Thanks.
You know, again, Michael, we hadn't necessarily intended on talking about, you know, the situation. I know it's not funny, but behavior sometimes is, I am taking a lighter view of it. That doesn't mean to say we're not diligent.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I often deal with times of stress, times of strife with humor. I try to make light of it, make jokes about it, but that doesn't mean that we don't take things seriously.
Yes.
Just like Dr. Kelly had mentioned, good hygiene, good practices, wash your hands often, frequently clean, you know, frequently use surfaces, practice, you know, for now, temporarily, you know, social distancing in the sense of if you don't need to be up next to somebody, then don't be. But,
well, I got to tell you, I went to the drugstore today. I was so happy that people aren't crowding you.
Oh, personal space is a thing again, you know. The close talkers are no longer, you know, now, oh, sorry, got to have six feet of space. But,
well, and I have frequently asked people in stores for quite a while, how often do you clean your keypads, you know, for your little machines? Oh, we clean them. And I'm thinking, So I've attempted very often either just to use my knuckle or something. And whenever I get home, I've always washed my hands.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing that for a long time, and now watching everyone else do it, I'm just so happy.
Well, somebody made a joke on, and you know, there are times where you love the internet, there are times where you hate the internet.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a big old mixed bag a lot of times because of the things that you see online. But what I have been heartened to see is in places that are hit the hardest, say in Italy, where they're in a mass quarantine lockdown, you still see people out on their balconies. They're, you know, singing with one another. There are these inspirational videos going out. There are these funny videos going out, people making jokes and creative things about working from home and having the kids home. And this is going to be a temporary situation. We all understand that this is no plague. This is going to blow over, and it's going to hurt for a little bit, but we're going to go about our lives, and it's going to be okay. And we need to keep a level head. It's about it's about how we control fear.
Well, we're doing things we're not accustomed to, and that's what I'd like to really kind of get into some nitty-gritty and give some tips. Because if you're not used to not socializing, if you're not used to staying at home, if you have to self-isolate, if you're not used to hearing, you know, like socially stressful situations, you're naturally going to feel, I think we're all going through a shock and trauma in a way. And fear does that, you know, something comes up and we become fearful. So it's really important to push the pause button and collect information. So whether that's something just in your daily life, or it's something as we're, you know, obviously challenged with right now is the coronavirus, it's push the pause button and start investigating a little bit. What is it? What's going on? But then you have to back up, stay calm, and say, well, what are things that I can do? What can I control?
Absolutely.
Because what happens with fear is we kind of, people naturally freak out. And as Dr. Kelly said earlier, freaking out and panicking has to have an outlet. you know, so people fixate on things, or that's a tendency to do that. But if we can just take a moment to say, what is within my control? What can I do? Now, a lot of people's jobs are at risk. I get it. It's that stressful. Whether you can pay your rent, whether you can, you know, have enough food and get through this really difficult, challenging time. Well, as much as this is going to hurt pride and ego, it's about reaching out and helping each other. And even if you have enough, ask somebody else, do you need anything?
That's a great point.
Is there something that I can share with you? And that's the sense of community. But let's say also you're in a position where you're saying, wow, you know, I'm not getting a check right now. You know, things have closed down. I can't work and I'm housebound. And I have to feed my kids or, you know, my family. Reach out to somebody and respectfully ask, do you have any, like a bag of rice, some, you know, pasta, other things you can share, because we're really down to the wire here. And this is when we begin to humble ourselves to stress. It's not shameful. It's, you're not begging. You're asking and reaching out for help. Absolutely. And whatever help. These are the very basic needs that we need to meet right now. Well, so in those basic needs, you make sure that you reach out, but you also both ways, if you need help or you can help somebody else. Now, the other thing that I might say is how easy it is to become depressed. And I know some people who are self-quarantined right now, and they're very social people, and they're feeling it. And while they're isolated, not used to social and not being able to socialize, one friend said, I'm trying not to worry. And I reminded her that, you know, all is well in your corner of the universe. You're good. In fact, her employer is still continuing to pay her. It's just the mentally and emotionally what a struggle that can be. So that's when you do reach out. And we've been messaging a little more often, you know, we'll talk a little more often. And she has a couple other friends. You can still go for a walk. It's just not to be around other people. That's a big shock to the system if you're not accustomed to it, you know. So before it gets to that point of feeling depressed or overwhelmed with fear, I suggest you just reach out to a friend and say, you know, I just need somebody to talk to. Really? You know, I'm feeling a little crazy right now, a little stir crazy. So I gave her some suggestions. I know she does art, and I said, try to focus on that, play some music, and allow the mind to open rather than to close, because along with depression, it's easy to become OCD. And cleaning things is, I know Audrey just said she's the biggest clean freak, especially at work. That's not a bad thing, by the way. You know, I am that way also outside the home, but it's not to get carried away, and it's again to retain that sensibility. So what you can control is within your control, and we're all in a place in time where we have to take one day at a time. You know, it's just one day, sometimes 1 hour, but one day and 1 week at a time, and allow life to unfold and reach out to each other. And I love what you've said, Michael, about, you know, what's going on in Italy. I know there's some artists, they're streaming concerts online.
Oh, yeah.
And
all over the world.
There's some people trying to do some really good stuff, and we have to hang on to that, especially when we're feeling so challenged.
People sharing good humor. You know, Patton Oswalt is a comedian that I enjoy. If you're familiar with him, he's an actor, comedian, writer. He was doing a little bit where he said, I'll partake in these artists that are sharing their craft with the world. And so he's out in front of his house in California, and he's basically doing stand-up in his yard to a nearly empty, you know, suburban neighborhood.
That's funny.
It is. And
just that concept is funny.
But the thing is, we're, you know, in this age, we have the advantage of, even if we are in a situation as rare as it might be, that you have to self-quarantine, you have to be careful. Then you still have outlets because we live in the digital world where if, you know, you have options of, you know, video chat, Skyping, calling on the phone. Yeah. We are digitally connected in a way that we never have been before, and that is providing relief to people that are in these situations. And we have to also, you know, realize that we focus on what we can control. We put things in their proper order. We follow smart, proper steps, and we will overcome fear because fear is always the true enemy. Fear makes us act irrationally. It makes us act against our better natures. It makes us justify things that are at times abhorrent. And I'm not speaking to currently. I'm talking about historically. Fear has been used to do this. So I have been the shortage of essentials like toilet paper, paper towels, and in some areas, you know, high population areas, food gets a shortage. But, you know, it's not like it's completely out. Somebody posted a joke. It was another heartwarming thing. It was the frozen food aisle and everything was gone except for the pineapple pizzas. And they said, even in the apocalypse, nobody wants pineapple on their pizza.
Well, I'll share a little story. It was a big truck. I recently went to visit a friend in a neighboring town, and as I know, some people are going to gross out about this, but we found out, which although 20 years later we didn't know about each other, we both love chicken liver. So we said, oh, let's go to this store and get some chicken liver. You know, even whatever people are doing in the stores, I know they're not going to be buying chicken livers. Well, we get to the store, it's nearly cleaned out, and there's not a chicken liver to be found. So we went to the frozen section and said, hey, how about frozen shrimp? We'll do the shrimp. But, I mean, I don't know many people at all ever who like chicken livers. And well, I mentioned it to somebody else, and they said, I've never even had them.
Makes me feel better about actually liking – well, I always liked pineapple, so I always thought it was a funny joke, and, you know, you get online, and I always get on and defend it. You know, Hawaiian pizza with, depending on what phase I am, sometimes I'll just do chicken, but I love pineapple on pizza. It has a nice montage of flavors. It's magnifique, but, Wendy agrees.
Yeah, Wendy agrees. You know, this is it, but, you know, we can go on because we find our own way of dealing with things in humor, and I just lighten it up. As Dr. Kelly said, I know the seriousness of this, and I get it that there's, you know, a very good cause for concern, but I'm not worried about it, people. I think back, and actually it was my oldest daughter that reminded me, because her dad had polio, and in 1930, I believe it was, everyone in the world was quarantined from polio. It was devastating, and we think, okay, this is a virus. It lands in the lungs. Okay, it's largely, you know, manageable, treatable. I know it affects the elderly more, of people with low immune systems. Polio got everybody, you know. So in perspective, again, keeping in perspective, this is manageable. This is something that we are – can all work on. We can do our part. And I'd like to know how long it takes for people to get well, and how many people have successfully endured it and come out the other side, which we're not hearing those numbers yet, unfortunately.
Well, here's the thing. But those numbers are out there. They're just not being advertised as much. Another wonderful thing to social media, and I'd actually been trying to find this this particular bit of information online. People are tracking the recoveries, and the recoveries are in the tens and tens of thousands. I mean, yes, this is scary. This is scary because it's highly contagious. It's scary because it's unknown. Humans are afraid of the unknown. Humans are afraid of something that they can catch that's, you know, it sparks a instinctual fear, especially in some. And, you know, there's a good reason to take certain precautions, reasonable precautions, but realize that this is temporary, that the human race, even within the last century, has been through far, far worse, and we will come through this, and we will be okay. There will be pain, there will be, you know, suffering on the part of some, and that is tragic, but we as a people, will come through this and things will be okay, especially as treatment begins, when we can quantify it, when we know more about it. You know, the influenza made its grand debut in 1918 in a real way, and it terrified the world. But now it's just the seasonal flu, and we get shots, and this is going to be the same. They're going to develop a vaccine that, you know, okay, it's just the seasonal. Ah, it's just coronavirus. It's a light coronavirus season. And life will go on because we quantify it. We understand it.
I know. It's the thing about fear and the topic tonight, how do you manage and overcome fear? I don't know as fear is something to be totally overcome. We all have an instinctual ability to detect a danger. And so there's irrational fear, and then there's that sensible fear. So overcoming it is to understand, I think, the difference. Like there's a distinctive difference between, oh, I'm feeling an energy, you know, of something's not right here. And it's like the deer in the forest, the tail goes up. We all have that. It's just we're so mentally overwhelmed and emotionally overwhelmed that we're not detecting when to put up our tails, you know, no pun intended. But it's so to overcome that is to get back to our natural state, knowing who you are and saying, whoa, I'm overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not thinking straight.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to take a breath. And that's due diligence with your own emotions and your own mentality. And I keep saying that word mentality because we do kind of mental, you know, in certain times.
Our perception is our reality, which comes from our mental state. And, you know, it's about a balance in all things. Be reasonable, take reasonable precautions, and just be smart. And also realize in its proper context. Put it in the context that, you know, as tragic as this would be, if everybody in the world to get it, then 98% of the world would still be here tomorrow. And that's, I know, a harsh way of putting it, and I almost regret it in that way. But the point I'm trying to make here is that we will go on. And in the context of the entirety of the human species, I think that one reason we're reacting to this is because we no longer deal with mass disease like we once did as a people, where it was common. It was a part of everyday life almost, and it was a harsher life. And we are lucky enough to live in an age where we don't have that as a common part of our lives. So when something like this comes up, it's a little bit jarring, which is a good thing. It means that we've advanced and we will continue to advance. And with the knowledge that we have and the reasonable steps we take, we will, you know, blunt this initially. We will learn how to deal with it, and then we will treat it. And then it will no longer have the threat in the imaginations of some, and we will be able to move forward. But I was also going to put out, there can be extremes on both sides in the sense that people that panic far too much, they won't, you know, they won't leave the house under any circumstances. They don't trust anybody. They take the virus too seriously. It's going to kill everybody. It's not. And then there's the people that, oh, there's nothing to worry about in the world. Everything's fine. We're going to go out and do things. It's a new, I don't know if you would call this a meme, but just a new thing, challenge, that's what it is, on the internet. Of teenagers doing weird things in public to show that they're not afraid of this virus.
Yeah.
You know, controlling your fear is good. Doing idiotic things like licking a public toilet seat is not good. And I'm going to point out, these are not millennials. I'm a millennial. That's not my generation. That's this new crop of kids. I don't know what's wrong with them. It's, you know, my generation's fine. It's this next generation that's odd.
Well, if I can just inject, I think in the bigger perspective, socially, we haven't had a big movement in the last 50 years, since, you know, 60 years, since the 1960s. And, you know, and prior to that was the women's movement. Sure, there's climate change. There's all kinds of protests and active activity going on, or has been until recently. But I think that when we've lived in this kind of privileged, comfortable existence, there's no understanding of, oh, I have to go out and get my food, bring it home, pump the water. You know, it's just natural. And again, I know I've said this before in the show, but when my children were really young, one day I had made homemade pancake syrup. And they said, "Wow, Mom, this is really good. Did you get the recipe from the bottle?" And in that moment, I realized how they saw the world. So, the generation in the last 20, 30 years, it's what comes first. You see, and they haven't had to, and again, I know how I'm going to seem like some old lady talking, but, and I don't mean to sound prejudiced, but it's the working for it. A lot of young women take it for granted that, well, of course women can do that. Well, no, in my lifetime, women couldn't do that. There's women before you who fought really hard to get where we are. There's other people, the social freedoms to get where we are. And so we can't take that for granted. So this is a big educational process going on to get perspective, for everyone to learn kind of French fries are potatoes, you know, and
depends on where you get them.
Yeah. And you know what? If you ran out of toilet paper, there are other ways. We've been doing it for 50,000 years.
Toilet paper
is a convenience. So we're getting perspective. And whether it's, you know, the microcosm or the macrocosm, it's regaining some sensibility and perspective of what it is to be a human being on the planet Earth and nature having her way. Whether, no matter how it started, no matter where it came from, doesn't matter. It's nature's having her way. And nature's always having her way. And we have to live in harmony with that. We have to live in, a synchronicity with each other. So that's what I think are the huge lessons for people right now. And that's quite amazing. And a lot of people in my generation have been talking about that. It's, you know, well, when if you're only living at boxed and frozen foods, how do you cook rice? You know, they don't.
What are you
people
trying to say, Vicky?
No, I'm just saying some people don't know, Michael. I don't know if you.
I'm kidding. Well, the intentional self-deprecation joke there was that I have a freezer full of, you know, boxed meals. You pop in the oven, it's ready. Hey, although, you know, hey, listen, I have a rice cooker. You know, I know how to make rice. You put it in water and do stuff.
I know.
Rice maker does it all. But
see,
let's just put this on the table. Yeah. Obviously, we reached peak humanity and achieved greatness with the millennial generation. It's just going to go downhill from there. We have to accept that and move on.
But, well, I'm with you, but everybody's learning. It's like, what if you didn't have those boxed foods, Michael? You know, like you'd have to cook from scratch.
Hey.
From scratch.
A little bit of behind the scenes. I took a year of culinary arts. So good that I can actually say it. And I refuse to say it as some say culinary. It doesn't feel right.
Culinary.
Yes. But
well, I just put it in the chat. If anybody would like a card tonight, we're happy to post them out and see what's going on in your life at the moment, what's tweaking. Just everybody, please chill and just, you know, keep your space from other people within reason and wash your hands. 20 seconds, by the way, 20 to 30 seconds with soap.
You know,
and
you can sing happy birthday to yourself, or you can sing the Star Trek theme song, which it takes about the same amount of time.
There you go. That there, see, little tips. Audra is first. Michael, if you have your cards handy, mine are too.
All right, I do, and I have positive consciousness for keeping things positive.
I love that.
That's number 13. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. What a perfect card for this discussion.
It sure is. Now, in support of that, Audra, I got the Six of Clubs. So in tarot language, the Six of Wands. And it's kind of I see this as a celebration of sorts, like you've arrived in yourself, like you've overcome in recent past some kind of inner challenge, and that now it's like positive consciousness and the Six of Clubs, you've changed, and it's, you're feeling really good about that. So I say, stay on that ride. That's good. You know, like you're there. So sometimes we do have to push the pause button, look back and say, this is how far I've come, and here's a really good place. I'm excited for you. That's great. We have Dr. Edward next. Nice to see you all here today, by the way.
It's always nice to see everybody joining us live. It's definitely added to this discussion, being able to read in chat, being able to read some of the funny stories, and definitely watch out for Poison Oak. Nice little inside joke for the people in chat. All right. Perfect card. I have Dr. Edward, wild card number 8, Freedom. I don't know if you've gotten this one for a while. Let's see. Wild card number 8, Freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being in the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right. Freedom. And freedom from fear.
Yeah. Well, in support of that, Edward, the Knight of Wands, I said the Jack of Clubs, and that's someone who likes to make things happen and bring change. It's like what I sense about this is you're comfortable with yourself now to speak up and introduce changes around you, introduce, I would say, changes to yourself, but I think what's paramount to me is bringing change around you. So I think you've arrived in yourself where you're good with that. And you know what I mean? Caring less about what others think and caring less if you'd be misunderstood. It's like you're comfortable. And it would be okay if you're misunderstood that you need to explain it differently or, you know, bringing it up. So you're introducing changes around you. I like that. That's the way I see that. Wendy's next, Michael.
All right, for Wendy. Pulled number 27, Gains. Might have been a little bit since we've seen that.
Yeah.
Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or of a behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
You know, I got the Hermit for you, Wendy. And it's that introspection and confidence that... but I also sense here that... okay, I want to say this carefully. Gains and standing up to authority, where you might see the secondary gains and those around you. So looking deep in yourself and saying, who might be attempting to have power over me, around me, and, you know, bringing that out in a way, like challenging authority, but in a really comfortable way. So you're just not taking any crap anymore is what I sense. So that's what I get from that. And that excites me, actually, because you're doing it in such a positive, good way. So we have Dr. Shirley up next, Michael.
All right. And Dr. Shirley, I have number 6, Boundaries.
Boy, we're all full of boundaries these days in the coronavirus, aren't we?
6-foot boundaries. Don't breathe my air. It's my air. You breathe your air. It's important. Yeah. Well, all joking aside, and for healthy boundaries, it's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, Dr. Shirley, I pulled the Six of Diamonds there, Six of Pentacles. I get that the boundaries might be about finances, might be about possessions, protecting what you have, and also knowing what you don't want anymore, perhaps giving things away. But it's prioritizing and looking at where your boundaries are with others, but more about things. So that's kind of where I'm at. Not just like emotional or mental boundaries, but more about things. And it could be a rite of passage. It could be a time in your life where you're reevaluating all these things. So I hope that makes sense to you. I would like to say to everybody, thanks for the feedback in the chat. It's encouraging. And Wendy said, when I told her she's not taking any crap anymore, she goes, laugh out loud, that's about right. So I'm glad to hear. but thanks for the feedback. I appreciate that. We both do.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to say it's important to be the change that you want to see in the world, as, you know, I think loosely paraphrased from, well, it's attributed to Gandhi, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't think that's actually true. I think it was misquoted to him. But that's neither here nor there. Now, Audra made a great point where she is not going to just look at this one more time. I found it. She's looking to help COVID-19 response groups in her area rather than just be grumpy. And I think that's a great point. It's a way to have an impact, to try to, you know, put things back in their context, control what you can, and taking action helps. And take preventative measures now to help those that you love, you know, especially those that are at risk. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm being a bit more careful. I've always had lung issues, asthma, so I'm being a bit more careful, being a bit more mindful. But I'm not going to panic, and I'm not going to let this, you know, dramatically alter my life or my happiness or my sense of security, because we have practical things we can do to control this situation, and we can focus on what we can control. So, you know, tonight we've had a great discussion, and it's been something that has, you know, helped me going through this and just thinking about life and thinking about the concerns. And I don't know if you had any other final thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
Well, I just would say, as cliche as it sounds, this is a time for reaching out as much as we're not supposed to be together.
Absolutely.
So it's I can only reinforce, you know, if you need help, ask. If you feel like somebody pops in your head, you know, that intuitively, because we're all metaphysicians here, aspiring metaphysicians. If somebody pops in your head and you're wondering how they're doing, give them a call, you know, and maybe not just a text, you know, or an email, but that's nice too, reaching out.
Yeah.
But give them a phone call. Just say, hey, you know, or text them to say, I was thinking about you. It's a good time to phone. And that's how we'll stay connected, and that's how we manage through, by having a sense of, it's like our extended family in our community.
Absolutely. So, I mean, even if you are self-quarantining or just social distancing, you're a little bit more physically isolated, you're not alone. You're never alone.
No.
And no matter what, you have, you know, you have us. We have this tribe. We have this community.
Yep.
Where we will continue to gather in a completely digital format where, you know, way more than 10 people can gather at one time. No big deal online. And I look forward to having everybody join us next week. And we're going to stay in this together. And together as a human race, our community and our own local neighbors and communities where we're physically at, we're going to come through this and we're going to be okay.
You know, Ed, I might just say, Edward just did that today. It's a dear friend who's 77-year-old lady and a very special person. He reached out. That's what we need to do, people. Thanks, to Edward, for sharing that. You know, we're not we're not overstepping boundaries to reach out and touch people in positive ways. We're not giving unsolicited advice. We're not telling people what to do. You know, we're just saying, hi, can I help you?
That's just letting people know that you care, yeah, that they matter to you.
That's right. So I want to hear lots of stories next week, because yes, I know we're still going to be in a corona dilemma. So,
Hey, how about this? For right now, things are tough. I think that's a great idea. How about next week? I encourage everybody listen to the archives, those listening live, think about some uplifting stories, some stories of how, you know, people in your community have helped or how you've helped. And yep, let's devote a segment next week. We're going to devote time to that. We're going to talk about good things happening in the world, where people are coming together, how we're working together to overcome fear.
Good.
And we're going to spend a little bit of time on that next week. And we're going to have a topic we're going to dive into as well.
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thanks for your participation. You know, my heart goes out to everybody, sending you all good vibes.
Well, and everybody stay safe, stay healthy. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.